On page 590, there's a few psukim we just have to like read through quickly and get to. Okay, let's start from sentence 17, Shani. Okay, page 590, Perek, Tes, Pasik, Yudain. Okay, these psukim we just read through quickly. Vayakrev is Hamincha. These are all the, again, the inaugurational sacrifices, right? So they brought the flower offering, Vayimalech Hapim Mimeno, the Kohen took his handful, like we learned by the flower offerings, it's like what's called the Kemitza, Vayakter al Mizbeach, and he brought it on the Mizbeach, Milvad, Ela Sabek, in addition to the morning sacrifice. Then he shechted the ox and the ram, which was the shlomim, the peace offering of the people. And the children of Aaron presented the blood to him, to the father. And he threw it on the mizbeach before it. The fats from the ox, from the ram. The tail, machasev, akloyis, the covering fats, the kidneys, v'yaseres akovid, and the diaphragm. These are all parts of the animal that they brought on the mizbeach. V'yasimus achalovim al achazos, they put the fats on the breasts of the animal. V'yakda achalovim al mizbeach, and they brought the fats on the mizbeach. V'yasachazos, the breast, v'yashaykayam, and the right thigh. Heinif arin tenufel lefnei Hashem, he waved as a waving before Hashem. They used to do, they put their hands under the animal, they waved it in all six directions, as Hashem told him to do. Okay, this is basically the end of the Koban. Now starts the more interesting stuff. Okay. Vayisa Aaron as Yodav El Ha'am. Aaron, huh?
Okay.
590. We're closer to the bottom of the page. Okay, sentence 22. Okay, Vayisa Aaron Yesyodav Elohim, Aaron lifted up his hands to the people, Vayavarchem, and he blessed them. Now, when Kayanim Duchen, Nesias Kapayim, or Birchas Kayanim, or Duchen, and whatever you want to call it, it says they have to lift up their hands. If you notice, we have a Kayan here, could demonstrate. You pick up the hand, and you do it in that way. That's why it's called Nesias Kapayim. Nesias Kapayim actually means the lifting of the hands. So the Torah says anytime the Kohenim, Dabar Lamev Bnei Kosev Aruchos Bnei Yisrael, it has to be in a way of lifting up the hands. So Aaron wanted to give Birchas Kohenim, the priestly blessing, to the Jewish people. So the commentaries explain, even though the priestly blessing wasn't given until later on in Chumash, in Parshas Nosei, in the book of the Bamidbar, and the second parshion by Midbar, and here where the third parshion Vayikra. Nevertheless, that's when it was given publicly. Moshe taught Aaron Berchas Koyanim over here. So when everything was done, all the sacrifices were done, what Aaron did was picked up his hands and gave the blessings. Now, okay. By Yeren, and he went down. Miaseis, because now he was still on the Mizbeach. He was on top of the altar. He went up the ramp to the top of the altar where he did all the burnings of the altar, of the animals and so on. He descended from the altar. Miaseis, achatas, va'elev, ashlomim. He went down after he finished doing the sin offering, the burnt offering, the peace offering. He finished. Okay, so basically, now that the whole worship, the work on the eighth day, this is the eighth day, Aaron HaKohen finishes off the thing with Birchas Koyanim, blessing the Jewish people. Vayavei Meshe v'Aaron, Meshe and Aaron came, Aloyel Meyed, to the Oyel Meyed, Vayetu, they went out, Vayivarchu Sa'am, and they blessed the people. Now, the question is, why was Meshe there? Like, what was Meshe doing? Meshe wasn't a Koyan anymore. He was only the Kohen Gadol for the 7 days. This is the eighth day. Now Aaron took over. Why is Moshe there? So Rashi asks the question. Rashi answers two answers. One answer Rashi gives is because he wanted to teach Aaron to burn the Keteris on the inner Mizbeach that we're soon going to learn about. Okay, so he was there to teach Aaron. There was one more job he needed to do. Now, the Kabbat, we learned to remember before, there was a big Mizbeach on the outside of the Mishkan, and then there was a little Mizbeach inside the Mishkan. In the Beis HaMikdash, they also had the Mizbeach of Karbanis, which was a big 64-foot square, 64-foot Mizbeach. And then they had a little Mizbeach, a golden Mizbeach, that was called Mizbeach Azov, that they brought the Keteiros on. That was inside, in the holier parts of the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash. So Moshe Rabbeinu needed to teach Aaron how to do the Keteiros, so Moshe came to teach Aaron how to do the Keteiros. Another explanation, Rashi says, which is a very interesting explanation, why would the Moshe come over here? Because the bottom line is, the Shekhinah did not come down yet. The Divine Presence didn't show itself. They did the 7-day work, nothing happened. Aaron came on the 8th day, did everything he had to do. Did Berachos Kohanim, still the Divine Presence didn't come down. So the Jews were upset. They said, look what we did. We did everything to fix, to rectify the sin of the golden calf, the eagle, and nothing happened. And Aaron came along and he was very depressed. He says to Moshe, listen Moshe, God's angry at me because I was the one that took the gold and made the golden calf. So Hashem's angry at me. So Aaron was depressed that nothing was going on. So Moshe came, this is another reason why Moshe came, to daven that Hashem should come down and rest the Divine Presence in the Mishkan. Okay, so what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu came and Vayetzu Vayivarchu Esa'am, they went out and blessed the nation. Vayerech Reid Hashem Al Kolam, and the glory of God came down. So what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu went in, davened. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu finished davening, the godly presence came. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Okay, Aaron first did Birchas Kohanim. What bracha did Moshe Rabbeinu give? So Rashi says in the Medrash, this is the bracha that we say Saturday night from Tillim. V'inayam Hashem alakeinu aleinu ma'isei deinu keinu aleinu ma'isei deinu keinu neu. Basically, v'inayam Hashem alakeinu aleinu, may the sweetness of God be upon us, and our handiwork may He establish for us, our handiwork may He establish. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a bracha that the Jews should be successful in the work of their hands. They built the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you should be successful in the building of the Mishkan. When he said that, the glory of God came down. In fact, it's very interesting because in Tillim, right afterwards, is the Kapit of Tefillah L'Moshe. I mean, at the end. At the end of Tefillah L'Moshe, okay, in Perek Tzadik, chapter 90 of Tillim, it starts with Tefillah L'Moshe, Isha L'Kim, and at the end, he said, V'inam Hashem alakeinu aleinu, may the sweetness of God be upon you and the work of your hand should be blessed. That's the reason, by the way, we say this Saturday night. If there's no holiday during the week, there's 6 days of work. So as we know, then we say V'inayim and Va'ata Kodesh. Why do we say V'inayim? That's the bracha Moshe Rabbeinu gave when they finished working. He said, may Hashem be with your hands. So when the Jews start a week, Saturday night, if there's no holiday during the week that we work for 6 days, so we bless each other that may the presence of God, the sweetness of God be upon us for the week. In other words, we should have a very successful week in all our endeavors. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu said that Aaron is worthier than me, more worthy than me, and therefore in his merit, the Shekhinah should come down. And there's a very interesting fight that the two brothers always had. Moshe Rabbeinu always said Aaron is better. Aaron always said Moshe Rabbeinu is better. And this is the way they would fight. Not like today. I'm better. You know. Moshe Rabbeinu said, look at this. The schus of Aaron brings down the Shekhinah. Aaron said, no, look at me, nothing. In Moshe Rabbeinu's merit, the Shekhinah comes down. And between me and you, they're probably both right. It came down in each one's merit. So that's what happened. Now, the pasuk continues in Shlishi like this. Vatayitze esh min lifnei Hashem. A fire came down from God. Okay? And went on to the Mizbeach. Vatayichal the Mizbeach and consumed on the Mizbeach. What happened over here, the Medrash says, happened as follows. The fire came down as a pillar from heaven to earth. It went into the Holy of Holies. It went from the Holy of Holies to the golden altar, which was the Ketores altar. And from there, it went into the regular Mizbeach. So, what had happened was like this. The fire came down from the Holy of Holies that people should see. It's the ultimate level of holiness, of Kedusha. Then it went to burn the Ketores. And then it went to burn the sacrifices. Now, I don't remember if we discussed this a long time ago, but they had the sacrifices in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, and then they had the incense. The incense was holier than the sacrifices. The incense was actually holier than the sacrifices. And that's why, as we'll soon learn, the story with the Ketores, that Nadav and Avihu brought a foreign fire on the Ketores, and the Ketores was a... It says in Kabbalah, in Chassidus, that the Ketores was even a holier level, the incense that they brought was a holier level than the actual sacrifices. And that's why it was brought on the inner Mizbeach, because the inner Mizbeach was holier than the external Mizbeach, the exterior Mizbeach. Now, why is Ketores holier than a carbon? So we learned that when they brought sacrifices on the Mizbeach, they had to be kosher animals. You couldn't bring a non-kosher animal on the... couldn't take a pig or a non-kosher animal and bring it on the Mizbech. It had to be a kosher animal. Granted, it was an animal, which represents the animal soul, the animalistic temptations and everything, to bring it on the Mizbech. But it was taking, so to speak, not evil and making it Kedusha, because it was a kosher animal. So it was what's called klipas noiga, you know, a level of klipa that you could elevate. The Ketores, on the other hand, represented a much deeper level. We learned that there was 11 spices in the Ketores. Ba'achados, we say it every day, twice a day, the men. Ba'achados, saman mahayu v'avayelu heina, tzariv, atziper, nachalban, v'avayna, 11 spices. So besides the fact that in Chassidus, in Kabbalah, it explains that the number 11 is higher than 10, 10 represents, you know, the order of the worlds, 10 levels per world. So it refers the natural levels of limitation of the worlds. 11 represents like 8 versus 7 that we learned last time. Just like 8 is above 7, so 11 is above 10. So 11 represents a higher level. But the Gemara says, and we mentioned this when we learned a while ago, Chalbana, one of the third spices, Chalbana had an awful smell. It stunk. And the Gemara says, why did he bring this stinky spice for the Ketores? If you're bringing incense, you should bring only good smelling things. So the Gemara says the expression that anything that doesn't include the sinners is not good. Any fasting that doesn't include the sinners, any Ketores that doesn't include, and not only that, in davening we also say from the Braise, Vim chised echad mikol sama maneha, Chayav Misa. You have to bring 11. If you miss one of the 11, you get killed. Capital punishment from Hashem. You die. Okay, they have to make sure to bring all 11. So the question is, one of them was Chalbana that stunk, and if that one's missing, it's also no good. The answer is, because the accomplishment of Ketores is actually elevating evil to Kedusha. Total evil. Chalbana represents the fact that it had an awful smell, represents not a neutral level of evil, it represents actually a terrible level of evil. And that Chalbana became one of the spices that smelled good, to the extent that if you missed it, your capital punishment. So you see from there, that level of Ketores is actually elevating even evil to Kedusha. So Ketores represented even a higher level than a regular carbon. A regular carbon, you couldn't take a tray for animal. You couldn't take something forbidden. You couldn't take something awful. Ketores elevated even that. And that's why it's called Ketores. Ketores means it has a good smell. But Ketores, in Aramaic, Shin and Tes are interchangeable between Hebrew and Aramaic. So Ketores is that Rav Shimon Yochai said, Bechat Ketira is Katarna, Ketida, the tes and shin are interchangeable, is the word kesher. Ketida, ketedas, is actually ksheidas. In Hebrew, it means the shin of kesher, which means actually binding. So ketedas actually is a deeper level of binding. Karban comes from the word karayv, means you become close. But ketedas has a deeper implication that you're bound, it's a knot. You're tied to kedusha. So therefore, when the fire came down from heaven to burn on the Mizbeach, which was the fire, you know, that came down, like we learned in the Beis Hamikdash, from heaven, it went into the Holy of Holies, to the holiest place, then it went to the Ketores, to the Mizbeach of the Ketores, then it went to the Mizbeach where all the other Korbanos were burnt. And this was the actual descent that the Jews openly saw, that God came down into the Mishkan. And their prayers were answered. And now the Jews knew that they were taka forgiven for the eagle. Until the fire came down, they weren't certain. You know, they did everything possible, but the fire still didn't come, the divine presence didn't come down. Now that the Shekhinah came down, the Jews were certain that it's all done. Forgiven and fine. So that's the fire that came down. V'atechel al ha-mizbeach, and it consumed on the mizbeach, the eila v'chalovim, the eila and the fats. And the nation saw and they rejoiced. Rino, you know, rejoiced. And he fell on the face. Meaning, what was the... And it says, the Chazal say an interesting thing. The Medrash says, Yalkut says, the oil made where the Jews were, where all the Jews came, was 50 cubits by 50 cubits. 100 feet by 100 feet. Okay? 100 feet by 100 feet. What?
It's not very much.
Not very much. To have all the Jews there? And not only that, when they came to bow, it says, Vayiplu al Paneihem. That means, like it says in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, and with the miracles, they stood crowded, all of a sudden they needed to bend, to bow on Yom Kippur, all of a sudden they had room to bow. So it says, Vayoreinu, and the Jews realized now a few miracles took place. Number one, the divine presence came down. The way the fire came down was a miracle, and that so many Jews were in such a small area that there was mamash a miracle. So they fell on their faces. Okay? What did they daven? Vayiplu al paneihem. When you fall on your face, you're supposed to say something. So they davened that the Shekhinah should stay. That it shouldn't be a temporary coming down and then leave. They davened that the Shekhinah should actually remain there permanently. Okay, now starts the interesting story of Nadav and Avihu. Vayikhu b'nei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, the two children of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu took, and they took ish machtose, each man took his frying pan. Vayitnu vahein esh, they brought fire. Vayisimu laketores, they put the incense on it. Vayakrivu lefnei Hashem esh zara, they brought before God a foreign fire. Asher leitziva esem, that he didn't command them. Okay? So I just want to say the next pasuk before we get into this whole thing. Vateite esh mifnei Hashem, a fire came down from Hashem. Vateichol esem, and he consumed them. They died in the presence of God. Okay? So you can imagine what's going on over here. It's an extremely joyous occasion. Hashem came down to the Mishkan. Hashem himself revealed himself to the Jewish people. They took, okay, and as we'll soon see, as Mefarshim explained, Moshe and Aaron's response to tragedy, how they responded was phenomenal. Shows actually their greatness. About not questioning God. But the fire came down. Now the Medrash says, it said, Vateichel Eisam, it killed them. So the Gemara says, a fire went into the nostrils and burnt them, but nothing happened to their clothing. Okay? Now Nadav and Avihu, if you take the simple meaning of the Pasuk, what did Nadav and Avihu do? They brought a fire that God told them not to. Why did they do it? Because they said, we learned before that when the fire comes down from God in the Mizbeach, you still have to bring your own fire. Eish Tomid to Kadal HaMizbeach. You need to bring a constant fire on the Mizbeach. So they thought, okay, we have to bring a fire on the Mizbeach. The Pasuk says God didn't command them to do it, and therefore they died. The Mefarshim elaborate a lot on why they died. What sin did they actually do? What sin did Nadav and Avihu do that caused them to die? And there's a lot of different opinions in what they did. Number one, and we'll see, they're all going to connect in one way or another. You see the way they're connected to understand what they really did is not the sin that they mention here. In Inyan, in concept. In concept. Okay. Number one, they actually brought incense when they weren't commanded to do. Lifnei Hashem, they went into the Holy of Holies, and we know only a Kohen Gadol can go into the Holy of Holies. They were not. Second thing that they did was Nadav and Avihu. Okay. Yeah, but why aren't they one second? Oh, this Chumash doesn't go through it. Okay. What they did over here is like this. One, some opinions say they went into the Mishkan drunk. They went drunk. That's why right afterwards Aaron was told, don't be drunk when you go into the Mishkan. What's the connection between the death of Nadav and Avihu and Aaron being... Because that's what they did. Okay, another thing they did was, they were going after Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's two sons. And you have to understand, just to preface one thing. In a few psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell his brother Aaron, I want you to know that Nadav and Avihu are greater than me and you. Moshe has said to Aaron, I want you to know Nadav and Avihu are greater than you and I. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't throw out compliments like that. Okay? So Nadav and Avihu were greater than Moshe and Aaron. So obviously any sin that we're going to be talking now, what they did, cannot be taken in a literal sense of them being no good. Okay? Just, and we'll explain the whole thing in a second. Number one, it says they went drunk into the Mishkan. Okay? Number two, they were walking behind Moshe and Aaron. They were the younger generation. And they said, one of these two old guys is going to die and we'll take over. It's another thing they said. The third thing they said is that they didn't get married. It's another opinion. They didn't get married. That's why they died. Another opinion says they ruled a halachic ruling in the presence of Moshe, which you're not allowed to do. Because if you rule a halachic ruling in the presence of your Rebbe, you're chayiv misa. Another thing it says, that why did Nadav and Avihu die? Because it says when Aaron made the golden calf, death was decreed upon him or his kids for making the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu davened, Hashem took away 50% of the curse. So two of Aaron's kids died. But instead of doing it then, when they sin, you know, at the Eagle, Hashem pushed it off until this time of the Simcha.
Inauguration.
Of the inauguration, yeah. Okay, now let's discuss what they really did. What did they really do? The Arachayim HaKadosh, and the beginning of Achrei Meis, but this is explained a lot in Kabbalah and Chassidus, what Nadav and Avihu actually did. And to preface it with an explanation as follows. There's a pasuk in Yecheskel that we say on the Haftarah of the first day of Shavuos, in the Merkava of Yecheskel, the pasuk says, V'achayis rotze v'shev. The chayis means the malachim. Rotze v'shev are longing and returning. Longing and returning. The whole world is set up in a way of coming and going, coming and going. Even time. You know, the second comes, goes, goes, comes, goes. You know, the whole thing is going and coming, going and coming. A person is born, a person dies. Everything is going and coming. The ideal way, what Hashem wants a Jew to do, is for a Jew to have a longing to leave the body. The neshama should leave the body. At the same time, though, realizing that that's not what God wants us to be in the body. And as we learned, that when the neshama, it says in the Zohar, you know, when people daven, sometimes they just shuckle, you know, without even realizing it, they shake. You know, they shake back and forth. So it says, why do they shake? Because we know Shlomo HaMelech says, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the candle of God is the soul of the neshama. That's why, you know, anytime there's death, God forbid, a neshama things, yartzeit, you always light candles, because the soul is compared to a candle. What's the concept of a candle? The flame always flickers to go out, to get away from the wick. At the same time, the flame stays. You know, it wants to go, but it stays. The neshama, during davening, when it feels godliness, the person is shaking because the flame of the neshama wants to leave the body, get out of the limitations of the body, animal, soul, world, and concealment, and it wants to go up to God. What the ultimate purpose is, that's not what God wants. God wants that we should be here, which is called Shaif. Too much Ratsu, too much longing is no good. Too much Shaif is no good. There's a story in the Gemara, in Chagiga we learned it, Abba Nichnasu L'Pardes. Four tzaddikim went into the ups. Okay? I don't know what it means, but it said they went into all the way up there. Rabbi Kiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zayma, and Acher, Elisha Ben Avuya. So Gemara says, what happened? So Gemara says like this, Ben Azai, Hitzitz V'meis. Ben Azai looked, it was this ultimate Kedush up there. Ben Azai looked and died. Ben Zayma went Meshuggah. Acher became an apikatus, a non-believer. Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara uses the expression like this, Nichnas b'shalom, v'yotze b'shalom. He went in peacefully, and he came out peacefully. So Chassidus asks, why doesn't it say, it says this guy cracked up, this guy died, this guy became a non-believer, and it should say Rabbi Kiva came out good. Why does it say Rabbi Kiva went in good and came out good? Why does it have to say he went in b'shalom? He came out b'shalom. Why is going in b'shalom relevant? So Chassidus explains the story as follows. When they went into this high place, okay, the neshamas of these great tzaddikim, talking about Ben Azi, Ben Zayma, Achim, you're talking about the cream of scholars. When they went in and they saw such a level of Yiddishkeit, the neshamas popped out. The neshamas popped out. To such an extent that Ben Azai died, Ben Zayma went nuts, Acher became an apikatus, something radical happened. The only reason it didn't happen to Rabbi Kiva was because Rabbi Kiva went in the right way. Meaning, those people went in with a one-way ticket of longing, but no return. When they went in, they allowed themselves to reach a level of longing of godliness that their neshamas taka left the body. In different ways. One became an apikurus, one died, one went meshuggah. Something radical happened. Why? Because their neshama went in with a one-way concept of longing, but no return. Rabbi Kiva was so great that he went in with the understanding, granted we're going in of the neshama leaving the body, but that's not what Hashem really wants. Hashem wants the neshama to be back in the body. And therefore, Chassidus explains, why does it say he came out okay? Because he went in okay, he went in with the right attitude. This is similar to what happened with Nadav and Avihu. In Chassidus explains, Nadav and Avihu's sin, ultimately, was Erechaim HaKadosh explains, that they saw such a great revelation of godliness coming down to the Shekhinah on the finishing of the Mishkan. Nadav and Avihu saw such a level of godliness, the neshamas popped out of the body. It was a ratzu the longing without the return. So the question is, what's wrong with that? It's a very high level. But the Pasuk says it was a fire that God didn't command them to do. That's not what God wants. That is not what God wants. God wants you should long and at the same time return. And therefore it's called, they brought a foreign fire. Fire represents the longing, like the yearning of the flickering of the flame. They brought, Vayakriva, they came close, Kariv, they became close with a foreign fire. What was foreign about it? Because they went Lifne Hashem, the Pasuk says. They went to a level which was too great that Hashem says, that's not what I want you to do. I want you to have the longing, but you really need is to come back. And that's how the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains the expression in Achrimis, but really the Torah says it over here too. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem, the Aruch Chaim interprets to mean higher than the level of Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei represents the four worlds, you know, the four letters represent the four worlds, the ten attributes, and so on. They went too high, too quick, without the return, the longing to come back. And this is an interesting thing. That's the concept, one of the reasons why they sinned was they drank wine. What's the concept of wine? Nichnes yayin, yotza seid. When you drink wine, the Gemara says, when you get drunk, all the secrets come out. Because you don't control what you're speaking. Right? Or as Kabbalah explains, yayin equals 70, yud yud nun, and sod equals 70. Samach vav dalet also equals 70. Yayin is a liquid which is hidden, sod. It's hidden in the grape. You have to reveal it. Okay? So what was the sin that they went drunk into the Mishkan? It doesn't mean there are a bunch of shikurim, not of an avir, they're greater than Meshinarin. It doesn't mean that there were shikurim that just decided to go drunk into the Mishkan. How could they do such a crazy thing? It means an inyan, they went into the level of yayin, they went into the secrets of godliness on a one-way ticket, the longing without realizing the return. And that's why there's a second opinion that says they didn't have children. What's that concept? The Gemara says there was the same Ben Azai. Ben Azai was known for this. Ben Azai, the Gemara says, there's two opinions. One opinion, the Gemara says he never got married. One opinion says Ben Azai never got married. Another opinion says, in Gemara, he married Rabbi Kiva's daughter, who was Rabbi Kiva's son-in-law, and after a short while, he said to his wife, you know what? I can't handle this anymore. Nafshi choshka b'teira. I want to learn Teira. I can't handle the pressure of marriage with kids, with supporting. Do me a favor. Let's get divorced. It's a very interesting parenthetically. Rabbi Kiva's wife, the famous Rachel, you know, that married Rabbi Kiva and got him to go away for the yeshiva and all that. She told her daughter, according to the opinion, that she was married to Rabbi Kiva's daughter and divorced her. So Rachel said, the mother said to her daughter, you're even greater than me. I married your husband, your father for Torah, and you divorced your husband for Torah. So you're even on a higher level than me. What does Ben Azai symbolize again? Not wanting to be in the world. Hashem says, get married, have children, have parnasa, be in the world. Ben Azai said, I can't handle it. That's why when Ben Azai went into Pardis, he died. Because Ben Azai's policy in Shita, his goal in life, was to have a longing and no return. Which was the same sin as Nodav and Avil. Why is it a sin? because God didn't command him to do it. And this is a remarkable lesson, b'chlal, that the Mefarshim explain. Many times people have holy intentions to do things, you know, and they do things that they think are very holy. There's one problem. God never told him to do it. Okay? If God never tells you to do it, then it's an eish zara. Nadav and Avihu had the most noblest ideas. The most noble goals in life. That the neshama should leave the body and become one with Hashem and everything. Why was it called the chet of Nadav and Avihu? The sin of Nadav and Avihu? Who are greater than Moshe and Aaron? Because Hashem said, you know what? It's fine and dandy. Great ideas. But there's one problem. It's a foreign fire that I never commanded you to do. And if I don't command you to do it, don't do it. As holy as it is, as holy as it sounds, the bottom line Hashem says, it's a foreign fire that Hashalei Tziva Isam, the Pasuk says, on top of the page, the third line, they brought a foreign fire that Leitziva Isam, that God didn't command you. If God doesn't command you, it can't be holy. Don't do it. Because Hashem doesn't want you to do it. So you can have the note, and it's interesting, we mentioned this in the past, idol worshipping is called Aveda Zara. Foreign thoughts in davening are called Machshava Zara. Foreign thoughts. It's usually a derogatory expression when you say somebody has Machshava Zara, it's like bad thoughts. Aveda Zara literally does not mean idol worshipping. Idol worshipping is Aveda Salilim, when you worship idols. Zara means foreign. Machshava Zara doesn't necessarily mean a bad thought. Machshava Zara means it's foreign. Which, like we learned in the past, if somebody is in the middle of Shemon Esrei, Amida, and they think about the Rambam that they learned, it's a pretty good thought. But you know what? It's a Machshava Zara, it's foreign. Because right now, you're supposed to be concentrating on davening, not concentrating on the Rambam. So as holy as the Rambam or the Gemara or the whatever it is, right now it's foreign, and if it's foreign, it's no good. Aveda Zara, Chassidus explains, anything which is foreign to the Jew, at the time he's supposed to be doing something, and he does something very holy, but now is not the time, it's called Aveda Zara. It's called foreign Aveda, which is equal to Aveda Zara, which is idol worshipping. Nadav and Avihu's sin, it says, was that they brought an Eish Zara. They brought it Lifnei Hashem, before God, it was in the highest of levels, and they brought every. But now you can understand that the reasons Chazal give what they did wrong all corresponds with this one major concept, whether they were drunk, whether they didn't have kids, whatever it is, it's all one point. They had the longing with no return, and that is a crime. And that is something terrible that Hashem didn't command them to do, and therefore Hashem killed them. And they died. To me, Amleis brings down a very cute story about how bad it is to be drunk. The Amleis brings down like this. Ma'is b'chosid echot. There was a story about a righteous person who had a father who was a drunkard. Father was always drunk. And he used to get drunk. He used to roll in the streets, you know, not in the paved streets, in the mud. And all the kids would come and make fun of him and throw stones at him and hit him. You know, the guy was a drunkard in the street, so they used to make fun of him. And they would say, yeah, look at the shikar is going, you know, the drunkard is going. The son couldn't handle it. His father was embarrassed every day. So the son calls him the father and says, listen, enough of this drinking on your own in the street. You know what? You're going to come to my house. I'll give you all the wine you want. Okay? You'll live in my house. You're not going to go anywhere. And that's it. Enough of this embarrassment of being all over the streets. His father, no choice, he did it. One time this chassid went into the street and he saw another drunkard there, and all the kids are making fun of him, again throwing stone like they did to his father. So he said, oh, this is such a great opportunity to bring my father to show what he looks like, you know, what he really looked like. So the kid brings the father to the person. He says, look, Abba, you see the shikid in the street? You see how disgusting it is? What happened? The old man saw the shikid. He went over to him. He said, tell me, where did you get such good booze? Where did you get such good stuff? And where did you get it? Because I want to be like you. I'm jealous. So the son says, Abba, I brought you here to see how terrible it is, and look what you're doing. So the father says to the kid, I swear there's nothing more pleasurable than this guy. You know, to be drunk. Huh?
Only we know what he's talking about.
Only what?
Only we know what he's talking about.
Yeah, we know what he's talking about. But that was the chet of Nadav and Avihu in a much higher level. And that's how like we said before, the Ar HaChaim explains it, that this is what happened. Okay, so the Medrash says that when Aaron saw that his two kids died, when he saw that the two kids died, Aaron screamed out, Oi! Instead of screaming at God, you know what God did? He said, Oi, this is because of my sins. He right away accepted and he said, this is because of my sins that happened in the Egel, and this is what happened. Okay, now the Mefarshim explained, just to go into details of the passing. It says like this, Vayikhu b'nei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu ish machtosit. Yeah? We know who Nadav and Avihu were. It said many times in the Chumash, there were four sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. Why does it say, Vayikhu b'nei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu? We know they're b'nei Aaron. Should have said, Nadav and Avihu took. So the Mefarshim explained, they were Aaron's children, but they didn't act like him. In other words, they were Aaron's children, but they didn't ask Aaron permission to do this. They didn't discuss it with him. They acted on their own. Nadav and Avihu acted on their own, that they didn't even, and it says even more. It says, each one took, the Mefarshim say, the Sifra says, Ish machtosay. It doesn't say together they took frying pans. Each one took their own, which means they didn't even consult each other. Each one did it on his own without any consulting. And they went into the Holy of Holies and, you know, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Okay. Okay, so the Mefarshim also say at the bottom. Okay. Now, there's an argument in the Medrash also. Where did they get this fire from? There's an argument between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel says they got the fire from the Mizbeach. They took the fire from the Mizbeach. Why is it called foreign fire? Because they weren't allowed to take it from the Mizbech. So when they took it from the Mizbech, it became foreign. Rabbi Eliezer holds, no, they actually created their own fire, which was not from the Mizbech.
The fire that they took from the Mizbech, from the golden altar, or from the...
From the golden altar. But they weren't, again, like we said, they weren't allowed to do it. But the Mefarshim over here say there were actually 12 sins that they did. The Medrash enumerate 12 different opinions of the Avedis that they did. Now, again, the Mefarshim point out, keeping in mind that Nadav and Avihu are greater than Moshe and Aaron, so their sins weren't that bad, so to speak. But on their level, it was a terrible thing. Now, the question is, we said before, one of the Avedis they had was that they said, one of these two old guys going to die and we're going to take over. It sounds like today's kids. When are they going to die and we'll get the Yerusha? We'll get the inheritance, we'll inherit. So Gemara, the Mefarshim explain, God forbid to say Nadav and Avihu wanting Moshe and Aaron to die. So they explained, it doesn't mean they said, when are they going to die? It says that Nadav and Avihu said, God forbid, if Moshe, now that the Shekhinah is down here, and we need Tzaddikim to keep it down, so they said, if Moshe and Aaron die, who's going to be worthy enough to take over? That's what they said. Not, they were hoping, like, wishing they would die and that they could take over. The Mefarshim explained, God forbid to say Nadav and Avihu did that. What they meant was that if they die, because they were older people already, if they die, who will be able to take, we're not worthy of taking over. Okay, so it was basically too much upon themselves, they, you know, okay, whatever. Okay, so v'yemei Moshe al Aaron. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Aaron when his two children die on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and he says like this, Hu asher diber Hashem lemer, this is what Hashem spoke. When Hashem said, Bikrevei HaKodesh, I will be sanctified through those who are nearest to me. And I will be honored before the entire people. But Yidem, Aaron, and Aaron remained silent. Aaron accepted it, didn't scream, didn't yell, didn't cry. Aaron was completely accepting of what Hashem did. So Rashi explains this pasuk as follows. Moshe said, Hashem said he's going to be sanctified through the holy ones. Like we know, you know, God forbid, sometimes when God punishes the world, he punishes through the tzaddikim. Okay, like it says about the, I don't know if you can answer, but about the Holocaust. You know, why did the best Jews go? Because when God needs to punish the people, it does it through the holiest ones. So Moshe said to Aaron, I knew somebody is going to die to sanctify God's name. I thought it was going to be me or you. Me and you, Moshe says. I thought me, you and I are the holiest. I thought it was going to be you and I. Now I see that it's them, and they're even greater than us. So Moshe actually told Aaron that the Nadav and Avihu are greater than you and I, and therefore Aaron was quiet. Now, why? And Aaron's greatness was that he understand that acceptance of judgment that Hashem did. He did it as a silence because he accepted what Hashem did. But Yidem is also the expression of not only silent, but Deim Lashem Mischeilolei is actually a concept of bittul, of humility. And because Aaron was quiet when his two kids died, he merited that Hashem spoke directly to him in the next few psukim. In the next few psukim, Hashem spoke, like this Hashem spoke to Aaron through Moshe. This time, Hashem spoke to Aaron straight. Huh?
Directly.
Directly. The Ramban says, what does it mean, Hu asher diber Hashem? This is what Hashem spoke. The Rabban said, how did God speak? By bringing down the fire that burnt them. It's also a form of speech. Okay, because the question, when did God say, B'krevei HaKodesh? God never said, I'm going to sanctify myself with the holy ones. God said it now, when he brought down the fire that killed them. Okay, B'kaved, Hashem is justice, he penarei righteous. Now, it says in the Gemara, how will Hashem be honored by this? How will Hashem be honored by killing tzaddikim? So it says, Rashi explains in the Gemara, that when people see that God punished the righteous, then they say, if God punishes the righteous, we also better behave better, because if not, Hashem will definitely punish us. If he could punish the righteous, how much more so will he punish us? Okay, like he says like this, it's common in human society that powerful, respected people maintain a looser and more permissive standard of behavior. You know, politicians get away with murder more than the commoners do. or, you know, powerful people can get away doing things that the commoners can't do. And in Yiddishkeit, it's just the opposite. The holier the person, the more accountable they are in their slightest behavior of doing something wrong. Mamish, the opposite in the world. But in the world, the powerful people, you know, get away with murder.
That's the way it used to be here.
Where?
They were more punishable than now.
By whom?
The president.
They weren't more punishable. They get away with murder.
No, in the old days, you could never see things that's happened to presidents now get away with it.
Because they didn't know about it. They didn't have the press that publicizes everything.
Media.
It's true. The media publicizes everything. Off the record, can you imagine JFK would have never been president if he ran today? They would have gotten such schmutz on that guy. I mean, everybody knows the schmutz on JFK. But they would have buried him in the media. He would have never even thought about running.
But he was Democrat.
No, but in Yiddishkeit, it's interesting. The holier you are, the more Hashem holds you accountable. Like we said many times, the mashal that the Mefarshim give, on a very clean garment, even a little speck is very noticeable. On a dirty garment, you don't see dirt. On a very clean, the cleaner the garment, the more you see the... You see the thing. Now the Mefarshim bring down. You know, there's a pasuk we say every day in davening. David HaMelech says, "Hayechaf ayager mitach shma shemachaneinesh hafachta misbedi lamochali pitach tosaket hazeni simcha man yizemecha chavid v'leyidim." David HaMelech's greatness was that he praised Hashem even in times of misfortune. He brings down a story from the Belzer Rebbe, the Baron Belzer, was a very great tzaddik. When his oldest son was burnt alive by the Nazis, he said, "I'm grateful that I have a share in the sacrifice of the Jewish people." Instead of complaining, he accepted it in a wonderful way. And in fact, there's a pasuk, which is also remarkable. We read it in the Haftarah of, we mentioned this many times, in the Haftarah of Achron Shel Pesach, when it speaks about Mashiach, there's a pasuk in the Haftarah that says, Eitcha Hashem ki anafta bi. Here. The pasuk says, "Here, v'amarta b'yemahu, on that day you will say, I offer thanks to you that you were angry at me. Eidcha Hashem, I'm going to thank you, God, ki anafta bi, that you were angry at me." The greatness of a Jew is to be able to praise God even when misfortune happens, and that was the greatness of Aaron. And what's unique about this, Aaron was the first one that ever did it. Everybody else already, Aaron opened the channels. He opened Pasach HaTzinot. He opened the pipes for people to do it. Like, it's late. But it says a famous question about Avram Avinu. Yeah, Avram Avinu was told by God, take your son Yitzchak and bring him up. Okay? And everybody makes a big tzimis about Akedis Yitzchak, yeah? Listen, Hashem told him to do it. Right? And it didn't even happen. Chana, in the Chanukah story, Chana gave up 7 kids. Hashem didn't speak to her, Hashem didn't talk to her, and she did it on her own. 7 kids, not one. Why is Akedas Yitzchak such a great thing? So one of the many, many answers is, Avram Avinu was the first. And once he did it, he opened it up and made it easier for everybody else. Aaron's greatness over here was he was the first one to praise Hashem when misfortune happened. And that was his greatness. Okay.